Well, good afternoon, Mark, and here we are again for another exciting analysis of PMQs. Are you excited, sir?
Oh, I can't wait.
Are you sure?
That's part of the week, this. Yeah.
So you're not like sort of
swabbling.
You're not tripping to the loo before you want to start?
Oh, I've been three times.
Okay. All right, well, let's get things rolling here.
Joanna Cherry.
Yeah.
Number one, please, Mr. Speaker.
Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, on Monday I met the families of Grace O'Malley Kumar, Barnaby Webber and Ian Coates, who were killed in Nottingham. I assured them that we would do whatever it takes to get the answers that they want. And Mr. Speaker, following constructive dialogue over past months, I welcome the significant steps the DUP have taken to make restoration of the executive possible. I also thank the other political parties in Northern Ireland for the patience that they have shown. After 2 years without an executive, there is now the prospect of power sharing back up and running, strengthening our union, giving people the local accountable government that they need, and offering a brighter future for Northern Ireland.
Brighter future for Northern Ireland. Let's see the money. That's the big thing about it, okay? Because they've done all the agreements behind the scenes. Let's see the agreements. Let's see the money, because the DUP ain't going to be moving anywhere until they see that. I can guarantee it.
Can they not just be honest?
No. Say what?
Can they not just be honest rather than just fire off these buzzwords? Brighter future.
Yeah.
Have further such meetings later today.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last week I met with a constituent who was employed not by the post office but by a supermarket who operated a franchise post office.
She looks like she's put on a little bit more weight, but I'm looking at it on a smaller screen.
And she was put through a disciplinary process by her employers, the supermarket. This has had a very profound impact on her life. She's not alone. There are others in her position, and yet there's no provision for compensating people who worked in franchise post offices like her. Will the Prime Minister give me a commitment to include these victims in the Horizon scandal compensation scheme?
Well, first of all, can I say I'm very sorry to hear about the Honourable Lady's constituent's case, as I've said.
This guy is always very sorry, isn't he?
And everyone affected deserve not just justice, but also compensation and answers. I'll make sure that we look into the precise details of her constituent's case, and surely there will be others like that, and make sure that the Minister gets back to her with all due haste.
Henry Stimmen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sustainable aviation fuel plays a significant part in the sector's decarbonisation. Will my right honourable friend, the Prime Minister, commit to further policies for a SAF mandate to generate greater demand for a revenue support mechanism such as other sectors, solar and wind power generation as well, and so that work starts by the end of next year on the five promised sustainable aviation plants here in the UK?
Prime Minister.
I can give my honourable friend the assurance that we are committed to ensuring the SAF.
Would anybody take an assurance from Rishi Sunak?
Sorry, I do. You just had to wake me up then. All I heard was climate, blah, 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 wind, blah, solar, blah, blah, blah.
Well, it's Henry Smith MP. And I was struggling to find out where the question was. There you go.
Yeah, never mind air fuel being sustainable. This country isn't sustainable at the minute.
Right.
What's going on at the immigration, etc. We'd fix all that first. There'll be
no
country to fly to and from.
Look over there.
Yeah. Mandate will be in place by 2025. And by mandating the use of sustainable aviation fuel, not only will we be able to deliver carbon savings, but also create a brand new UK market. And as one of the steps in introducing the revenue certainty mechanism that he talks about by 2026, DfT will be consulting in the spring this year on options for how that should work in practice.
Oh, come on, get to Keir.
The leader of the opposition,
here
Keir Starmer.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I join the Prime Minister in welcoming the DUP statement about the return of the Northern Ireland executive? This is an important moment, and we now need all sides to work together to get Stormont back up and running for the people of Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Mr. Speaker, I too met the families of Grace, Barnaby and Ian on Monday. And it's impossible to express in words the horror that they've been through and continue to go through. We must all redouble our efforts to do everything that we can.
That's that murder, Mark,
with their campaign.
Of those three people.
And of course, Mr. Speaker, this week,
and he was sentenced
two young lives, 16-year-old Max and 15-year-old
so many years
Mason,
in a mental health institution,
in
Cushy Ride.
And I know the whole house...
It's all buzz words again, Johnny.
Yeah. Condolences.
Fluffy talk, because it's going to happen again and again and again and again.
It is.
Mr. Speaker, one of the most difficult experiences for any member of this House is speaking to those at the sharp end of this government's cost of living crisis. So nobody could fail to be moved by the plight of the member for Mid-North. His mortgage has gone up £1,200 a month. He's been forced to quit his dream job to pay for it.
Do you know what? When they talk like that, how do they relate? Because their mortgages go up, they get more money. It's as simple
more
as that.
Money.
Yeah. So they don't suffer at all. Doesn't matter. So how do they actually really relate? I haven't got a clue.
I don't know, but he mentioned Northern Ireland, didn't he? And they still managed to function while it was closed. So can we just close Westminster?
Yeah.
We probably wouldn't miss them anyway.
Don't say that. They're probably going to be the last British people amongst us, I'm telling you. I want them. I want Geoffrey Donaldson for Prime Minister. Yes.
A Tory MP counting the cost of Tory chaos. After 14 years, have we finally discovered what they meant when they said, we're all in this together?
Mr. Speaker, thanks to the mortgage charter that the Chancellor introduced last year, millions of mortgage holders across the country are benefiting from support with their mortgages, because it's important, rather than take the approach that the Honourable Gentleman just did, is actually focus on the practical support in place to help people who do need help. And someone on a typical mortgage is able to now save hundreds of pounds thanks to those reforms. And actually what we have recently seen is mortgage applications now at a multi-month high as a result of confidence returning. But if he really cared about helping people with the cost of living, Mr. Speaker, he would actually do more to celebrate and acknowledge the fact that thanks to our plan, millions of working people will now start to pay hundreds of pounds less in tax from this month's pay slips, Mr. Speaker. But we all know that's not a priority for him. He said he wanted to back people with a cost of living, but now he has described tax cuts, I read, as salting the earth. His shadow chancellor, it seems, is equally confused. In Davos, she said she did back tax cuts, but back here in Westminster, she called them a scorched earth policy. She obviously can't decide which Wikipedia page to copy this week.
Ooh, what a dastardly dig there.
I like that one.
Yes.
That was quite good for him.
Oh, they're getting a bit nasty there. Which Wikipedia page is she going to copy and paste this week? What are they going to do? I mean, he keeps on going on about these things he's doing, but people are not feeling the benefit of the words and the things that he's saying. They're just not.
Listen to what he said. Keir said the guy was paying over £1,000 more. He goes, it's all right because people are saving hundreds.
Yes.
Actually, no, they're actually still losing hundreds.
They're still losing hundreds. Yep.
Yeah.
Onwards, ho, sir.
Anyway.
Mr. Speaker, for every £2 he says he's giving people back, he's taking £10 out of their back pocket in higher tax. And he thinks they should be dancing in the street and thanking him.
That's exactly what you just said.
100,000 people, Prime Minister, just like the member for Mid-Norfolk, coming off fixed-rate mortgages and paying more each and every month because they crashed the economy. Does the Prime Minister actually know how much their monthly repayments are going up by?
Prime Minister, as I said, Mr. Speaker, someone on a typical mortgage of about £140,000 with 17 years left is currently paying around £800. As a result of the ability to extend their mortgage term or switch to a six-month only interest-only mortgage, they will be able to save hundreds of pounds, and that is someone...
Did you hear what he said then? Switch to an interest-only mortgage.
Oh, brilliant.
Interest-only. That's really helping the people, isn't it?
It's helping someone, but it's not the person with the mortgage.
It's helping them prolong the debt. I think this guy is just...
The thing is, here, it doesn't matter what we say or do in the government, what the government want to do with taxes. If the IMF say no,
well,
and it's no, so
have to wait.
Key is here, doesn't he? You can't have them.
We've just got to hope and pray that Trump gets back in, because that's going to have a massive effect on what's going on. And these two, they'll just be seen as pipsqueaks in comparison on the world stage. I'm sorry, but they are. They're just making misery for the people in this country. You don't have to agree with me and keep nodding, Mark. I can see you nodding. That's okay. That's all right. Okay, here we go.
The average mortgage, Mr. Speaker. But again, Mr. Speaker, he says he cares about the cost of living. The thing that would have the biggest impact on everyone's cost of living is the fact that his ideas to spend £28 billion, which we had just confirmed this morning by a shadow Treasury minister, I heard, confirmed that they remain committed to them, but he has no plan to pay for this £28 billion, Mr. Speaker. No plan at all. And that's typical Labour economics, because they want to keep the spending but drop the payment plan. And I actually saw at the weekend their former leader, his mentor, was clear that they'll make their sums add up with tax rises on people's assets.
Do you know what? This guy is absolutely bound to be giving away tax giveaways. Where's he finding the money from, Mark? Go ahead. And he's criticizing Starmer.
You know. He's got a tree in his garden.
Has he?
To be fair, the thing they're not talking about, I think that $28 billion they referred to, is green stuff.
Yeah.
So why isn't any of them saying, can we just spend this on our priorities rather than all this green malarkey?
Yeah.
They're arguing on where it's going to get funded. And no, really, we think we should be saying, let's prioritise. Let's take money that doesn't really need to be spent. Let's put it somewhere where it really does.
It is going to make the lives of people happier in this country. It's as simple as that. Here we go.
Just argue where it's coming from.
Their homes, absolutely. Their pensions and their businesses. It's the same old Labour Party, Mr. Speaker. No plan and back to square one with higher taxes.
Mr. Speaker, they've crashed the economy, mortgages are through the roof, they've doubled the debt, and he thinks he can stand there and lecture other people about fiscal responsibility. But he didn't answer the question. Hundreds of thousands of people are coming off fixed-rate mortgages and facing huge mortgage increases. And the Prime Minister won't even do them the courtesy of answering the question. No, he didn't. So I'll ask him again.
I was very clear at the beginning, and I mean that my constituents are here. If yours don't, please leave. Here, Starmer.
Does the Prime Minister have any idea?
Do you know if he did that, and then every other MP just like got up and walked out, that would be great. Just a mass walkout. My constituents don't want to listen to this rubbish. On both sides.
Most of mine don't.
Yeah.
So you think he said hundreds of thousands of people are coming off boats, mate, never mind. Other stuff.
Absolutely.
Worse.
Mortgages are going up by this month for those coming off fixed rate mortgages.
Prime Minister. But again, I'll just point him back to my previous answer, Mr. Speaker. As I went in through it,
no answer.
The situation will be different. As someone on a typical mortgage of around £140,000, who's currently paying £800, will be able to keep their mortgage payment essentially the same by using the facilitations that the Chancellor has put in place. But again,
can somebody define essentially the same?
But again, it's incumbent on him to explain to the British public how his policy of decarbonising the grid by 2030 is going to be funded. He won't give the answers, but helpfully, the Shadow Energy Secretary popped up at the weekend in an interview in the Sunday Times. He said they don't need a plan to pay for it, Mr. Speaker, because in his words, it will produce real savings and it makes clear economic sense.
Really? Does it make clear economic sense, Mark?
What doesn't make sense? Isn't this meant to be Prime Minister's questions?
I know.
Not flip-flops questions.
Yeah.
Just imagine
how
it's
going to
be.
You're right. He keeps on bouncing it back. But I haven't seen anything really tangible about what Labour intend to do with their green policies. Have you?
Do you know, I'm going to end up falling asleep again. Green what policies?
Yeah,
I'll just scrap them, mate, and spend the money on stuff we really need. I'm not really interested. I'll be totally honest.
Okay.
What's boring me, though, is every week it's the same old thing. So the Labour say, oh, you cons, you crashed the economy. I'm pretty sure we're still the sixth biggest economy.
I thought you were going to say we're still sick of this economy.
Yeah, it's still the sixth largest national economy in the world. So if that's crashing it, mate, it doesn't say much for the rest of them. And then you've got no plans.
Yeah.
I'm sure Labour have got loads of plans, to be honest, how to run this country into the ground.
Yep.
I just don't think they know how they're going to pay for it all. That's all right. So you've got a point with that, but
they're going to borrow.
Now, the shadow leader here doesn't want to talk about it at all, but let me tell him, I see all these years later, it's the same story. The Right Honourable Member for Doncaster North has carved a promise in stone and everyone else just looks away in embarrassment.
Mr. Speaker, he just doesn't get it. They crashed the economy, mortgages skyrocketing, doubling the debt. They say they're gonna max out the government's credit card at the next budget. And he won't.
Order. I think the Chief Whip's getting very carried away. He doesn't want to lead everybody for a cup of tea, does he? Come on!
They have forfeited the right to be lecturing others about the economy. Somebody coming off a fixed-rate mortgage is going to be paying an average of £240 more each and every month. A constant reminder that working people are paying the price for the damage that they've done to the economy. This week, I met one of the employees at Iceland in Warrington, Phil.
Oh, they're going to bring the CEO of it into it, and Rishi Sunak's going to mention him. I guarantee it. You know, he said he couldn't get a job with us, so we passed him on to you, or something like that. Yeah, you ready?
I'm sure Phil would be.
Order. Mr. Gibson. Sorry. Mr. Starmer. Order.
Never mind. Ask them to shut up. Kick them all out.
The same voice keeps appearing again. It won't appear anymore. So I'm just letting you know now. Kiss down.
Laughing at an employee at Iceland who's struggling with his mortgage.
Shame.
He told me that his mortgage is going up by a staggering £1,000 a month, Prime Minister. He doesn't want other averages, other people, other stories. That's what's happening to him. If the member for Mid Norfolk on £120,000 can't afford this Tory government, how on earth can people like Phil?
Well, actually, Mr. Speaker, thanks to the management of the economy, Phil and millions. Phil and millions of people like him are now ensuring that inflation is less than half of the rate that it was when we were talking a year ago.
Yeah, it is fishy, Rishi, but not due to you. What do you say, Mark?
I was going to actually say this wasn't as funny as last week until he told that joke. Then.
Joke. They're going to cut. You know what's going to happen is, go ahead.
So somebody who's on £120,000 can't afford to live these days.
No.
They might need to check what they're spending money on.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm sorry, but that is not any government's fault.
No. I would agree with that.
I reckon they probably work for Warrington Council.
Oh, yeah.
They have excuses.
Maybe they're on the budgeting team as well.
Hundreds of pounds for someone on an average salary. But I hope he explained to Phil. He explained to Phil the cost of his policies. Did he explain to Phil how Phil is going to have to pay for his £28 billion green spending spree? How it's going to cost Phil in higher taxes, more coming out of his pay packet? And did he explain to Phil that he'd be better off sticking with our plan rather than going back to square one with him?
That's the whole catchphrase, going back to square one. With Labour and their economic policies. That's his whole thing today. I mean, you may as well just wrap it up. The only thing I want to listen to, you know, after this is to listen to the SNP. Maybe to hear what the DUP have got to say as well. Go ahead, Mark.
Again, it's the lesser of two evils. He's right. I mean, I think the Tories do a slightly better job on the economy, but I'm not saying it's a good job.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
But wow. We're in for a treat, aren't we, when Labour come?
Yes. And they will. They will. There would be no doubt about it because Conservatives know they're finished. They know.
I just can't wait to see who they blame for everything.
Yes. Well,
it won't be themselves, will it?
Well, are we going to sit here and we're going to say, We blame Justin Matters.
Yeah, it's his fault.
Yep, it's Justin's fault. Come into the pub, Justin, and we'll have a drink and a chat, and we'll see if we can fix everything.
Yeah, those socialists crashing the economy.
Yes. Damn socialists. Here we go.
I would invite the Prime Minister to get in touch with Phil and explain to him how paying £1,000 more on his mortgage is making him better off, because that's not how he feels. He's just so out of touch. It's unbelievable.
He is right about that.
Well, he is. I've said before. Yeah. Still 100 now, isn't he?
Yeah.
But let me tell him, most people don't have that sort of money knocking around. And if that wasn't bad enough, Mr. Speaker, this week he told every council in the country to put their council tax up by the maximum of 5%.
That's 26 tax come on now.
Prime Minister.
Old.
And he says everything's fine, people are better off. But when people see their mortgages going up, their council tax going up, food.
You got a comment about that? Going
up. Yeah, he told them to put it up, did he?
Yeah, according
you're
to...
You're telling me that if Rishi had just said, do whatever you want, they would have all left it, yeah?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. He told them...
Bollocks.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking. I said it when I'm thinking.
They can't wait to ramp it up.
You know, this... I'm telling you now,
and give themselves a pay rise.
Rishi's got the balls of King Kong in there. Definitely. He's definitely got the ears of King Kong. Massive.
I don't think he's got any balls or a spine.
Has he?
Okay. Neither of them.
Okay. Mm. Well, he doesn't. Did you see Keir punching that punch bag?
You call our punch? You know? Honestly, mate, I've seen like 9-year-old girls at martial art hit harder than that, mate.
Yeah.
I'm not even joking.
I'm not messing with a 9-year-old girl at martial arts. They're vicious, those little kids. You know? They're vicious.
There's probably 10-year-old boys. You'd beat him in a fight, mate.
Absolutely.
That's not a joke either.
Yep. Here we go again.
To believe his boasts or their bank accounts.
Minister. Well, Mr. Speaker, again, I was puzzled because again he resorts, as always, to the politics of envy here. But after recently and repeatedly attacking not just me but the government for lifting the bonus cap, I was genuinely surprised to see that the Shadow Chancellor just today has announced that she now supports the government's policy on the banker's bonus cap. I don't know if he mentioned that to Phil when he was having a chat with him, but I'm sure he can fill us up. But I can tell him that trust and economic credibility come from sticking to a plan, but it's becoming clear you cannot trust a word that he says.
We can't trust a word you say either.
Chancellor says or claims that they won't borrow much, they won't raise Phil's taxes.
If he's going to be childish, so am I. So am I. You liar!
Mr. Speaker, I actually didn't expect him to be laughing at Phil. I did not expect him to be laughing at Phil.
This is what they do. They're not.
It's distraction.
No. I don't.
Shame on you.
Booyah, boo sucks.
Both you and the Leader of the Opposition. It matters to the people who watch the proceedings of this chamber.
It doesn't know.
Good in the behaviour that seems to be carried out.
Oh, a little bit of common sense from Lindsay Hoyle. Your behaviour is not good. What are you going to do, Lindsay? You going to put him over your lap and give him a good spanking?
Yeah, live on TV.
Yeah, live on TV.
I'll be a deterrent, wouldn't I? We'll be doing it again next week.
Yeah. Caning. Give him a caning.
Do you know, Rishi's got some decent comebacks. It's just his delivery. He's just dead dour. It's just not.
He hasn't got it. There's just no two ways about it.
He's not quite like Ricky Gervais, is he? The Golden Globes.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what?
If we had Ricky Barnes every week, hilarious.
If Ricky Gervais was actually doing PMQs, could you imagine how many people would be tuning in?
Yeah. He needs to get Ricky to write some stuff.
Yeah.
He could call himself Rishi Gervais.
Yeah. Very good, sir. Very good.
The Prime Minister just doesn't get how hard it is for millions of people across the country like Phil. That is the primary problem. Struggling with their mortgages, their bills, the spiralling cost of living. And the Prime Minister's response is never to take responsibility, show contrition, or even any level of basic understanding. Yep. He's so detached, He thinks he can paint a world in which their problems simply don't exist. The problem is he can't even fool his own MPs, let alone anyone else. The member for Mid-Norfolk says he's exhausted. He's looking forward to new opportunities outside of Parliament. Why doesn't the Prime Minister do him a favour, call an election, so he and the whole country can move on?
I just want to say something there. You know, basically, you know, he's saying, you know, they're not really telling the truth. They're not taking responsibility or accountability. Right now, this is the leader of the Labour Party. But he is Sir Keir Starmer. Now, how does that fit in with the man in the street as Sir Keir Starmer?
It doesn't fit in with most of the working men and women in his own
it doesn't.
Party, his own voters. But again, this is the theme of our main podcast every week, accountability.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but he's standing up there, Keir, when a lot of his councils aren't taking responsibility for bad management. It's the fault of the Tories.
Correct. Again. They keep on blaming everybody.
No one wants to take responsibility for anything. That's why we're in this mess. Because it's always someone else's fault and someone else. Like, you know, I expect this off children when they get told off in the playground. It wasn't me, it was him.
Yeah. That's all it is.
It's not been bred out of them, though.
It's kiddie winkies.
Why hasn't it?
Yeah.
Very few people in this day and age will hold their hands up now and say, look, I've made a mistake. Right. We need to fix it. Well, it's just someone else's fault, or it wouldn't have happened if this did. It's frustrating, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Why everything takes 25 years to get any justice.
Has he got a chance of coming back here? Let's see.
Hope not.
Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. But whether it's Phil, whether it's everyone else across the country, the plan that we're putting in place is working to help people and we're making progress. Just this week, taking action to stop children from vaping. Just this week, ensuring that people can visit their pharmacies to get the healthcare they need, freeing up millions of GP appointments. And just this week, millions of working people starting to see hundreds of pounds of tax cuts delivered in their pay packet, Mr. Speaker. That is a plan that is working. All he's offering is £28 billion of tax rises. And that is the choice, Mr. Speaker. It's a brighter future with us, or back to square one with them.
Again, square one.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
A little
Speaker.
Bit annoyed. It's,
the Prime Minister likes to...
Laws to stop vaping. I mean, where's the priorities? On one thing, that is not going to stop children from vaping because majority of the time, it's not them buying them. Same with alcohol, same with cigarettes, same with everything. They'll find it from somewhere.
Somewhere, yeah.
They're so adamant on stopping vaping. Why aren't we stopping 1.2 million people from coming into our country every year and all the boats that are coming over? I think make that the priority.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
The majority of people who vape are adults and they're doing it for a reason. Stop smoking.
Let's become the Lone Star State of the United Kingdom. Let Cheshire be the Lone Star State. Let's get affiliation with Texas, baby.
Yeah, at this point, I wouldn't mind being a state of America when Trump's back.
Yeah, I want their guards over here. We need your help. We need your help, please. Yes. Yeah. We need Trump, can you come and help us, please? From this stupid government.
Got loads of wire, haven't they, in America?
Oh, yeah.
They're just keeping it in supply, just in case they ever need it.
We need some of that in the middle of the sea, because then that will make all the dinghies go...
I don't know, can we not heat the water up and just put sharks in it?
That would be another one.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to cross them, would you?
No. That makes it sound vicious.
Oil and fire.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one. That reminds me of Castle Fights. Yes. Okay. Spread the tar. Light them up, baby.
Oh, no, don't. No, not. No, just a preventative thing. You don't want to sail through fire. You'd have to turn around, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but we'll kill about 200 of them. No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It'll send a very clear message. Okay. Carry on.
End live sport. And so I wonder whether he would join me in welcoming the decision of the planning inspector in upholding Rugby Council's rejection of an application for development at Brandon Stadium in my constituency to keep the doors open for it to remain a sporting venue. so that future generations will enjoy the thrills and spills of motorcycle speedway and stock cars.
Prime Minister.
Well, I join a honourable friend in paying tribute and being proud of actually Britain's rich history.
I'm only waiting for the SNP to come on. I want to find out what they say.
Exactly what they're going to say. Palestine.
I want to see if they say anything about Nicola Sturgeon going in and giving her evidence today.
No.
Do you reckon?
Maybe Palestine always is.
Well, I think Rishi might have something in his armoury to discuss it. Here he is.
Mr. Speaker, when the Tories scrapped the cap on bankers' bonuses in the autumn during a cost of living crisis, the Labour Party rightly opposed it. Yet here we are, just 3 months later, and the Labour Party support scrapping the cap on bankers' bonuses.
The globalist IMF said so.
Say that again, sir.
Because the globalist IMF said so. And he has got his tongue right up. Well, you know where he's got his tongue up.
That's right. Okay. And his nose. We're checking his nose. The colour of his nose is turning browner at every PMQs. Okay. It'll soon be as brown as Rishi's.
But a lot smellier. Anyway, move on.
Touch with public opinion.
Well, Mr. Speaker, as I said at the time, we supported the decision of the independent regulator because this was the right thing for financial stability. But that, Mr. Speaker, is because on this side of the House, we have a set of convictions and we have a plan and we stick to it. But he's absolutely right to point out the flip-flopping and U-turning and no convictions of the party opposite.
Of course, Mr. Speaker, scrapping the cap on bankers' bonuses was only made possible due to Brexit. So what the Westminster parties are now telling the public is that it's OK for bankers to have unlimited Brexit bonuses, but for the public sitting at home, struggling to feed their families, they have to suck up and deal with the additional food price costs as a result of Brexit red tape. That is the cost and that is the reality of broken Brexit Britain. Isn't it the case that the great achievement of this Tory government is getting the Labour Party to agree to that bleak future?
Do you know what? He does have a point, because that was one of the biggest things that the DUP were fighting for in order to remain part of the United Kingdom, so to make sure that there was no extra admin costs on top of goods passing between Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK, right? Yes, okay. Now, as regards to the rest of it, they've been trying to get rid of certain European laws, but just not the right ones. I can't work out, you know, because they can have this criticism leveled at them for so many years. I mean, because it was in 2015, you know?
Well, I'm not having this at all. Like, because we left the EU, that means we can't stop bankers' bonuses. Is that what I got from that?
Well, not just that, but also food inflation.
Why can't we stop? We'll just put a law in to stop bankers' bonuses then. Whatever.
<Yeah.
laughs> They put it in for vapes and all of the nonsense. Yeah. Green nonsense. So
it's amazing they can get this legislation in so quick. It's coming in on Thursday.
I mean, you remember that? Oh, the hideous COVID legislation that they didn't even take to Parliament.
Yeah.
That was in before it was even voted on.
Yeah.
Priorities, you know.
Yeah. I'll go with that.
Mr. Speaker, we're actually delivering benefits for people across Scotland, not just least in new free trade deals that are opening up markets for Scottish exporters, free ports that are attracting jobs and investment, the Brexit pubs guarantee, cutting the cost of a pint in Scottish pubs. But when he talks about the cost of living, Mr. Speaker, the thing that he could do most to help is make sure that Scotland isn't the highest tax part of the United Kingdom.
Oh, we knew that was coming, Mark.
For high earners, Mr. Speaker.
We knew that that was coming, because Scotland have now got the highest tax in the United Kingdom. They're hammering those people up there with those new tax bans. It's as simple as that.
Socialists are hammering them with tax, are they?
Yep.
Who would have thought it?
Well, indeed. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing the cutter a week on Monday and getting his report on all of this that's going on. And if he doesn't mention it, and if he doesn't slag off Sturgeon, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Okay?
And if he doesn't, I will.
£100 or more is paying more tax in Scotland than they would in England, thanks to the SNP.
Iago Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. One punch thrown, 2 days on life support, then three children left without a father. A four-year sentence handed down, released after two, but one grieving mother has to live a life sentence of agony. Sentencing for one-punch killers is not working in this country. Does the Prime Minister agree that now is the time to finally introduce a specific offence and a tougher minimum sentence for one-punch manslaughter?
Prime Minister.
Can I pay tribute to the work my honourable friend has done in bringing attention to so-called one-punch manslaughter and highlighting, as she knows well, the anguish those cases cause for the families of the victims. And I know the Ministry of Justice has looked very carefully at the amendment that my honourable friend has proposed, and I know that she'll be meeting the Minister for Safeguarding shortly to both discuss her specific amendment and how we might best address the wider issue.
Sir Ed David.
Oh, here he is. What were you going to say, Mark?
I was going to say we're getting into dangerous territory by making laws for every little specific crime that happens on the details of that crime. Now, manslaughter should just be manslaughter. I mean, I know it was a horrible situation if someone died, but I don't think the intention when someone punches someone is to kill them. But hence why it's manslaughter.
Yeah, I get you.
If someone does it in a car, why is that any different? A car can be a really dangerous weapon when used incorrectly. I think we're just going down a dangerous road where we're going to have a law for every little thing that happens.
I never go on the drive when my wife is backing out, because I know that if she sees me in the mirror, I know which way it's going to go. I always scoot out of the way. Out of the way.
I think you need to keep out of her way for a couple of days.
Oh, I know. After the podcast. Oh, wait till she hears that on the podcast. Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Order.
Order. Order.
And David, my constituent, Millie, a wheelchair user, had a serious accident at a sporting event. Millie was left waiting on the floor in pain for over 2 hours before an ambulance arrived. During her months in hospital since, she's been dropped badly multiple times, left stuck in her bed for days at length. She's even been told to soil herself when there's no one to take her to the toilet. Before all this, Millie was living independently and working, but the prospect of her returning to work is being destroyed by the crisis in the NHS and care system. Yeah. I'm sure the Prime Minister will agree that no one should ever have to go through what Millie has, so will he look again at our proposals to make sure...
This is just to make him look good, especially after the Post Office Horizon scandal.
Oh, there's a note and a vote Post Office question mark.
And then the Prime Minister's going to say, oh, yeah, we're very sorry to hear about Millie's case.
I know, but what he's doing is he's blaming Rishi, not directly, for some real, real bad practice in the NHS.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I don't care how busy you are. No one's telling. So I've never experienced anyone say, oh, just soil yourself.
Yeah.
No, that is actually bad practice. And I'm pretty
that
sure
only it. Happens in the A&E departments when the toilets are out of order.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's not going to happen. You can have a bedpan.
Yep.
You don't get told to soil yourself. That story doesn't ring true to me. And if it does, whoever said that needs firing.
Yeah.
You need better staff.
Something wrong with that. Okay.
Then again, when the levels of staff, which I've noticed in the police, have gone down, and maybe the army, and is it happening in the NHS too?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
You know, just to fill the gaps and diversity quotas.
Yeah. DEI, baby.
Yeah. Well, there's a chance of that now, isn't there?
I'm sure the Health Secretary will follow up with the Honourable Gentleman. And more generally, we want to make sure everyone gets the care they deserve, which is why we're not just investing record sums in the NHS, but ensuring that there are record numbers of doctors, nurses, and new innovative forms of treatment.
Blah, 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 blah.
Money isn't going to fix people telling them to soil themselves, is it?
Yeah.
Are lower today than they were this time last year.
Slynn Saxby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yay. The number one reason for children's hospital admissions in North Devon is for dental treatment. We have no NHS capacity and no orthodontist in Barnstable. Our dentists cannot recruit, even with large golden hellos. The emergency dental plan does seem to have been stuck at the Treasury forever. Might my right honourable friend use his spare set of keys and pop round and rescue it for us, please? My constituents and I would be ever so grateful.
Prime Minister.
My honourable friend has rightly championed the provision of dentistry in her local area. We're investing £3 billion a year, and the reform contracts in dentistry from the NHS have improved access while ensuring fairer remuneration for dentists, and we also are providing more financial support for those who need it the most. So around half of
blah, the blah, 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 blah. Last year
were delivered. Go ahead, never get round to the point of asking why is it in high demand?
Yeah.
Are there more people needing the dentist?
Yeah.
Or are children having more dental problems? If so, why are those two things happening?
Yeah.
And slow them down. Not just throw money at it. Again, these people don't think.
No. I would agree with
you. It's really frustrating, John, to be honest.
It is. You should be in charge.
I should. But it's a viper's nest, isn't it, mate?
Yeah. Would you make sure that all the toilets are not out of order?
I wouldn't. I'm not bothered about that. I'd want to sort kids' dental stuff out in the... You know what I mean? As long as there's a hole to go in, then you're all right.
Okay. Here we go.
Well, it was good enough for the French.
All right.
And that's why our dentistry recovery plan will be published shortly.
Andrew Bridgen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, here's a good guy.
2 decades ago, the then Prime Minister, Tony Blair...
You heard them already? Before he's even spoken.
...endorsing the Post Office Horizon IT system as perfect, protecting the large corporation that created it and causing untold harm and damage and misery to innocent people. Can the current Prime Minister think of anything he has promoted in partnership with huge businesses as safe and effective, which has ultimately harmed the British people?
Oh, God, listen to them.
To correct that safe and effective statement, or will he choose the same line as Tony Blair, sit back, do nothing, and let the misery just continue to pile up?
Prime Minister. Interesting.
As we've been clear, the Horizon scandal is a terrible miscarriage of justice, and we're doing everything that we can.
Yes, we're the latter.
To what he was more broadly insinuating, let me be unequivocal from this dispatch box that COVID vaccines are safe.
Told you, he's totally swerved it.
Yep.
He just keeps bringing evidence week by week.
I agree.
Frustrating again.
And my right honourable friend will know that the public's confidence in the institution is at an all-time low. Does the Prime Minister agree with me that, as high street banks are closing branches across the country, we should look to developing new community banking solutions rather than giving the Post Office sole responsibility for providing access to cash and other banking services in poorly served neighbourhoods?
Prime Minister.
I thank my honourable friend for a question, but I also just say that we shouldn't mistake conflating this scandal with the actions of many hard-working local postmasters and sub-postmasters, because customers can access cash and banking services through a wide range of channels, including a contract with the Post Office counter service, which does provide a valuable channel. And that I agree with her, though, the importance of access to cash, which is why the government has legislated to protect that as part of the recent Financial Services and Markets Act, and ensures that the vast majority of people should be no more than 3 miles away from such a cash point.
John Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, one of the Nolan principles, integrity, states that holders of public office should not act to gain material benefits for themselves, their family, or their friends.
Oh, this is a biggie.
On the 6th of January, you tweeted a link to the Conservative Party website, which seemed to scrape people's data and place unwanted cookies on their machines. The Good Law Project is now pursuing. Can the Prime Minister...
Right, okay, so you know this is gospel because it's Dawn Butler, MP, who is following this up. All right, and the Good Law Project. Oh, here we go.
Can the Prime Minister assure the House that no laws have been broken by his party?
Yes. Mr. Speaker, of course our party follows all laws.
Easy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, a first responsibility for government is to fix the housing crisis that young people didn't cause. 3 years ago, we dragged house building in this country up to the highest level since 19... 19-
Do you know what? It's getting boring now. I'm listening and I'm just thinking. I just want to hear the DUP.
I'm still fuming from the COVID thing, so I'll come back to that at the end, I think.
All right. Consider using the budget. Come on. Where's the DUP? Come on, we want to hear the DUP. Get off, Jenrick. Get off.
to boost housing starts.
I don't think you can hear me, Mark.
And to support thousands of businesses across our country.
Prime Minister.
Well, my honourable friend is right to point out that since 2010, we have delivered 2.5 million additional homes, on track to deliver 1 million just in this Parliament and help over 850,000 families into homes.
Just get programme questions. The only that he's got the answers for, so it makes him look good.
Sorry, what was that, Mark? I was asleep.
With us.
The vast majority of first-time buyers in our country pay absolutely no stamp duty.
Marshal de Cordova.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The APPG on eye health and visual impairment has today published polling that found that nearly half of employers exclude blind and partially sighted people from their workplaces, and one in four said that they would not be willing to make workplace adjustments. The disability employment gap remains stubbornly at 30%, and the pay gap means that blind and partially sighted people effectively work for free for 47 days of the year. So will the Prime Minister meet with me and sight loss organisations to discuss how we can create a more inclusive workforce?
Prime Minister.
Well, I share the Honourable Lady's ambition to have an inclusive workforce, and the record in supporting those with disabilities into work over the past several years has been incredibly...
Yeah, I wonder if he's going to be able to see his way through to sort something out for these blind people.
And I'll ensure that she gets a meeting with the relevant minister.
Sir Michael Ellis.
Mr. Speaker, having visited recently, I know that Israel remains in shock following the rape, murder and butchery of Hamas. All of us want to see a peaceful and demilitarised Palestinian state. However, Hamas remain in control in large parts of Gaza. Their support is growing in the West Bank. Nearly two-thirds of Palestinians
former paymaster general
coexistence with Israel, and the Palestinian Authority has continued to promote hatred of Jews. Does my right honourable friend agree that any recognition of a Palestinian state must address these issues and can only come about as part of a negotiated settlement between Israel and the Palestinians?
Prime Minister.
Well, Mr. Speaker, the government's position is clear. My honourable friend is right that there are steps and conditions that need to be put in place on this journey. First and foremost, the removal of Hamas from Gaza, a Palestinian-led government in Gaza and the West Bank, a concrete plan to reform and support the Palestinian Authority, a reconstruction plan for Gaza, and a two-state solution, which we have long supported. So let me be clear, we stand with Israel, and the terrorist threat that they face must be limited, and Israel's lasting security must be guaranteed.
Mr. Speaker, on the 15th of November last year, I appealed to the Prime Minister to choose de-escalation and peace over violence, death and destruction. He called me naive. So far, over 26,000 souls have perished in Gaza.
Shameful.
In a powerful and moving open letter in Monday's New York Times, the Jewish Voice for Peace Rabbinical Council cited Deuteronomy. I have put before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life, accusing President Biden of choosing death. If the Prime Minister won't listen to me or the ICJ, will he listen to the Rabbinical Council, or will he call them naive too?
Prime Minister.
What's he supposed to say to that?
Now, I love the way they cherry-pick stuff from
New York Times. It's a Jewish paper as well.
I know, but I love the way they cherry-pick scripture, because Deuteronomy says some horrible things about what to do to homosexuals. We didn't read that out.
Nope.
That are necessary for an immediate pause leading to a sustainable ceasefire. But I can assure the House that we are doing everything that we can to get more aid into the region as quickly as possible.
We all live in a dream world.
Mr. Speaker, Chatham Docks, over 800 local high-value jobs which are at risk as the owners are continuing in their pursuit to displace successful businesses such as ArcelorMittal Kent Wire. The Labour Council are failing to honour the commitment they made before the local elections to protect the docks and the jobs. Even their leader, the Right Honourable Member for Holborn and St Pancras, said he was proudly backing Save Chatham Docks campaign. Will my Right Honourable friend meet with me to see how we can protect the docks and save those jobs for my constituents? And isn't this just another example of how Labour and their leaders change their position?
Again, look over there, look what they're doing. They're bad guys. We're good guys.
constant champion of Chatham Docks, and I am disappointed to hear that the local Labour Council are failing to honour the commitments that they're met.
Do you know, I'm falling asleep now. I'm losing the will to live, even.
I like their voice, though.
Whose voice?
Whoever that MP was, it was pleasant.
It was a female.
Right.
Oh, there you go. Nothing from the DUP. Oh,
that's strange after what's been going on.
Oh, God. Nothing. I was expecting something.
I'm just going to go back to that COVID thing. He literally said they're safe and effective. Then why have 72 people claimed compensation for the government, totaling 11.5 million? And why is there a High Court case?
Yeah.
Well, I think it might have started in the High Court. AstraZeneca are defending. Sounds perfectly safe and effective to me. I know of people who've been damaged by it, and they've had no compensation.
No.
Apparently it's safe and effective, though. What are we on now? 2024. I think someone I know had it in 2021. He's still having problems.
Well, I have to say... serious problems. Right, let's actually nail this now. What did you think of this week's PMQs? Sum it up.
It wasn't as entertaining as last week, was it?
No.
I think it's the summary is going to be the same every week. No one answers any questions. They all just want to have a dig at each other. And some of the stuff they're saying is funny, but the delivery is awful.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're comedians in Parliament.
We need some good writers in there to actually start getting some good stuff in so we can have a go at it.
The best joke was when he said he managed the economy. That was brilliant.
That was... Well, here we go. This is the end.
He should have dropped the mic there and then and walked off stage.
There we go. Well, thank you very much for coming back on and giving your say on these things. Always, always with intelligence. Not like mine.
I thoroughly enjoyed listening to the bickering. Great.
Yes, it's over there. Look what he did. No, it was her. She did it.
It's like a pantomime, isn't it?
I know.
Thank you.
Take it easy. Soon, sir.
Take care.